All right, here we go. Water Ski Pro Tour Podcast. I have Dane Meckler. Dane, you just got off the plane, dude, from France. How are you feeling, first off?
I'm good, Marcus. Yeah, a little tired. It was a long journey home, but yeah, it was a good few weeks in Europe. But good to be back and, yeah, ready to talk a little bit about Lacnau.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me is just consistency. I'll get to some other stuff, like you have a real life and a real job and you're still trying to be one of the best and are one of the best in the world. But for the last couple of weeks, I feel like you were incredibly consistent through each round. Is that, I mean, aside from the second round in Lacnau where you got 1 of 41, was that your lowest score for the whole European tour, by the way?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I think actually was pretty happy with the scores I was able to get. I think I ran 4 or more at 41 in 6 out of 12 rounds. So that's pretty
insane.
High level skiing for me. And, you know, I think we'll get to a little bit later, but you know, with the level of skiing now, it's almost like 4 at 41 it's not enough anymore, which is just insane. But for me, I'm super happy with the way I skied. Getting around 4 is kind of always the goal for me and was able to get it in 6 rounds. So yeah, pretty happy.
Yeah, that's insane. You get 3 at 41 and you're 8th place in Lacnau. So that was a huge event.
Insane.
So before we get to that, I just want to ask, was there anything that stood out from this last weekend, aside from the skiing? Anything for you in France? You've been there before. How was the event? How was it run? How did you feel coming away from that event?
Yeah, so I think just like kind of set the stage so people realize, like, you know, we were in Monaco Wednesday. Like, we had 3 rounds, like a full day of skiing Wednesday. A few of the guys were able to get out Wednesday night, but most of us were on a flight at 7 a.m. Thursday morning, and which meant, you know, for a lot of us, we were waking up at 3 in the morning, right, after a full day of skiing. And, you know, the girls, they had their 2 rounds of prelims on Friday already. So we showed up Thursday, you know, the girls were kind of like heading straight into it, and we all got a little bit of a practice set, but for them, there was really zero time at all to, like, yeah, so...
That's actually insane. If you're kind of an amateur skier out there, to hear that, the fact that you guys really just didn't get much training time. It was mostly tournament rounds, it sounds like, for the last week.
It really was. And like, if you think, you know, we were in Spain and then straight into Monaco and then straight into Lacnau, and, you know, especially for the women, some of them probably skied 7 days in a row there, and all like really high level prelims, finals. Yeah. So
that's crazy. So okay, how are you personally staying in one piece, by the way, when you're doing all the skiing like and travel and all the rest of it? How are you dealing with all that? What do you do?
You know, it's really not easy. You don't really have time to recover. You kind of just have to push through. Personally, I was super happy to have a day off on Friday. I'm not sure how the women did it. I remember talking to some of the other guys, just thinking, man, I'm so glad we're off today. And watching them was pretty impressive, the way they, you know, they just went out there and crushed it as they did on Wednesday. It's tough, but it's pretty cool opportunity. We had 3 events, 1 week. I mean, for somebody like me that's trying to maximize the trip, it's absolutely perfect.
Okay, so about that, how do you balance kind of real life, like work, family, otherwise, on the East Coast, with trying to be the best or one of the best in the world in water skiing? How do you balance that?
You know, it can be difficult, but something that I always have to kind of keep in the back of my mind is how lucky I am, right? To be able to have the opportunity to do this at such a high level, right? My job's online for the most part. So I'm able to work from home, which gives me these opportunities to be, you know, not always in the office. And so kind of just having that in the back of my mind, knowing that I could be in the office every day, unable to attend these events, it makes it a lot easier, right? But it is difficult working different time changes, you know, a few nights up till 1, 2 in the morning on meetings. you know, it's certainly not easy. And part of the reason why, you know, I'm back home and the rest of the crew traveled on to Greece, but was happy to at least be a part of four events. So.
Yeah, that's a big deal. But like you said, you're wearing multiple hats and that can definitely grind on you over time. But dude, it's not showing. I mean, let's be honest. Just when people talk about some of the best skiers in the world and maybe some of the best moves in the world, for instance, like an onside turn or like being dynamic towards the wake, I think a lot of people think about Dane Meckler. And I don't say this lightly. I think you might be one of the best technicians in the world. And so to get to that level and to wear multiple hats is that's a pretty huge accomplishment. So I think perspective, it sounds like, is key for you. Like, you put it in perspective, you realize how lucky you are.
I appreciate that a lot. Yeah. And so, I mean, right now I feel like we're in such a lucky time and Slalom. Like, the field is so good. There's so many good, you know, it's just so deep and everybody's such a, I don't know. I feel like everybody, you know, for the most part, you know, gets along and it's just a good group right now. And I feel lucky to be a part of skiing at this time. So.
Yeah. Sounds like you guys, you have a good thing going. It's probably really hard for you to not be over there going to Greece this weekend, but you've got priorities. So, okay. So talk about Lacanos specifically, that event. Prelims,
so,
you had a day off and then you went into two rounds of prelims on Saturday.
Yeah. So like Lacanau just in itself, I don't know. Have you been there, Marcus?
Been there, but I've always wanted to go. Always.
Yeah. I mean, this place is absolutely incredible. It's on the western coast of France, right? It's a little surf town where we're right on the beach and the lakes are absolutely perfect. It's got a little bit of like a Santa Rosa Beach or Charleston vibe to it. Right, like absolutely perfect lakes. And last year I was at the event and I think actually TGAS ran 3.5 at 41 and got fifth. And so coming into this event, I knew scores were going to be absolutely off the charts, right? And they were. You know, the women Friday had two rounds, like we talked about, with short rest. And we came from Spain, which was like 110 degrees. Monaco was on the coast, but it was, I mean, well into the 90s, it was super hot. And we turned up in Lacanau and it was maybe 70, which, you know, isn't too bad, wow. Right? But when you're used to 100, I mean, it was cold.
It's cold.
I'm not going to lie.
It's cold.
But, you know, we were.
Yeah, dude.
Right. And so.
Was it raining? Did I see it was raining too? Or I heard
Friday,
it was raining?
It was. Like for the guys, it was, you know, maybe we'll talk about that in a second, but it was our prelim round. It was some of the strangest rain I've ever skied in. And I tried not to shy away from rain. Like I ski in it in practice. I tried to, but I've never skied in. It was more of like a mist. And you just couldn't clear it from your eyes. Like it was almost like foggy and it was sticking. So it was incredibly
Did you have glasses?
Luckily, I didn't. Some of the more experienced guys did. I saw Will have the glasses. You know, that's something I probably need to figure out, but I don't. And luckily, like my first two passes were, you know, a ton of rain. And by the time I got to 39 to 41, it was a little bit better. But some of the guys, I mean, John Travers, like he was one of the last ones I watched. And I'm not sure how he skied at all. I mean, he was absolutely pouring down rain and was very difficult to ski in. So, yeah, challenging conditions, even though it was a perfect lake, at least for that first prelim round for the men. And then for the women, short rest, pretty cold. Two rounds straight up, and you know, the skiing was incredibly high.
Yeah, I mean, the results for the whole weekend kind of look like off the charts again, like 3:41 for the guys in the finals, only got you eighth. But I do feel like it didn't look as easy as I would have expected it. Is that correct, or did it actually feel and ski as easy as
you
the
know,
score showed?
It's like it almost felt like every set everybody was getting more and more comfortable with it, right? We switched boats, we switched ropes, we were totally different water temperature, everything changed. And by the end of it, I think everybody felt pretty dialed in. I mean, to me, the lake felt very easy in the end. But the first, I took a practice set Thursday and it was like, okay, this is pretty different, right? This is going to be a challenge, the first set.
Do you think water temp had anything to do with that? being like, obviously air is colder. Was the water a little bit cooler as well?
It was. Yeah, I think so. People were super fast on the gates. It's a little shallow there as well. So more of a timing change than anything, but yeah, I think so.
Yep. Okay, so why don't we talk about some names? Let's talk about the women's finals, or the women's, you know, side of it first. I mean, there's some really, really good skiing over the last couple of weeks, for sure. I mean, Witt has been crushing it. Jamie's been climbing. Allie's been strong. What from your perspective, was maybe surprising, and what was kind of like, I totally expected that from Lack.
Yeah, so like, I guess we'll kind of start off the podium. I think, Allie Garcia going out and running 3:39, first time she's ever turned two ball in her career, was huge, right? And to put up a score of three, that's, that's a huge difference between two and three. And you could see
especially
it
for a lefty, in a way.
Of course. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. And you could see it in the final. She edge changed to two and went to turn it again and unfortunately fell. But I think we're going to see her, once you get past that mental block of making that turn, I think probably going to start to see her pushing, being a lefty closer to four ball. So I thought that was
maybe a breakthrough.
Impressive. Yeah.
Yep.
And then the other one was, Manon being back in the mix, and she looked super dialed in. I don't know if you watched the final at all, but her 39 in the final was, I thought for sure she was going to run it off of three. And so it was just good to see her back. I know she grew up skiing there a lot, and, it's just good to see her back in the mix. So,
yeah, I think a lot of people.
Two big takeaways off the podium for me.
Those are both really, really cool, because I know Allie's been pushing hard, and to see her get a piece of three and get around three and then to try to turn two in the finals, that's awesome. And I know Manon, people have been missing seeing her on the starting list and then obviously in the finals. So that's pretty cool. I did see, did she go just inside five? It looked like she had a little bit, looked like she was going down the rope.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was classic lefty. She kind of swung to the end of the line a little bit too early at four and had slack out of it, but it was so close. I mean, she really was on a good line through three, and standing there on shore, you thought she's going to run this.
That's got to be hard too. Like, first tournament back in a while, there's probably more pressure than she's used to. And so that's still a big score considering. And I know her back was hurt a little bit too. So,
yeah. And then like,
what about, go ahead.
Of course, on the podium, I mean, it was going to be Whitney or Jamie, right? I mean, they've both been skiing absolutely incredible. You just knew coming in, it was going to be one or the other. And Whitney in the final went out first, and I actually thought she got a piece of two, which really raised the level, standing there on shore, kind of came back, confirmed one. And so, took the pressure off a little bit for Jamie, but still had to get through 39. And around two ball, which I'm not sure how many times Jamie has done that. I know she has, and several times, but to go and get two, pretty big lift, right?
Yeah.
Being last off the dock.
Yep.
And she, I just felt like she kind of took another level again. I mean, the 39 she ran in the final was about as clean as you could get. And it was no doubt she was going to go and get around two ball. So pretty exciting to watch those two. And then, with Allie Nicholson, consistency is just incredible. Like, she's been third, I think, at every event. And, if anyone makes a mistake, she's right there to take that spot. And she's consistently getting at least 3.5, 4 at 39. And so she's going to be tough to, take a podium spot at any event. So.
Yep. Like you said, her consistency, and she's starting to push it down the line. She's getting bigger and bigger scores more consistently, which I think is really cool to see, especially those are big trips when you guys are guys and girls are heading over, spending a lot of money, time away from home.
Yep.
There's a lot more, there's pressure. I would say there's a little more pressure when you're in that situation. So, that's awesome. I'm kind of excited to see what happens when the tour comes back to the States. And Witt and Regina and Jamie and the rest of those girls are kind of all on the dock at the same time. I think that's going to be exciting to see second half of the year leading up to Worlds.
Yeah, totally agree.
What about the guy side? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, once again, the skiing, the level of skiing was just insane. I think we're at the point where with a full field, we've seen it, right? At Monaco, threes didn't get in. Like here at Lacanau, three, you know, was the score to get in and ended up being eighth. I think we're pretty much at the point where three is no longer safe, right? I mean, it's three plus a backup of three. And I almost think we're actually getting to the point where it's going to be like a piece of four ball to feel decent at all in the second prelim round, which is insane to me.
It does sound insane. It sounds insane to me, and I'm not even doing it. Like, for you to be right in the middle of it, that is crazy to say more than three of 41 to actually feel safe in any event.
Yeah, and I guess so, like a couple takeaways there, like, you know, Corey Vaughn struggled with the rain the first round. They stopped him. He had to take a break. He went straight cold into 39, I think. It was maybe 38, something. But he had like a pretty long break and went straight back in, struggled the first round. And then second round came out and got a, you know, just a huge quarter. Getting the, you know, a 3.25 to put himself into the finals was pretty impressive to me. And it was just good to see him do that.
That's huge. I mean, he's been trying to do the same thing as you, kind of the work-life balance. And he's got a child, he's got a business, and to see him fly over there, take the risk and show up and actually end up in the finals and end up in sixth spot, that's a big deal.
Yeah. And like, especially just, you know, a couple of days before he ran three and didn't make the final in Monaco. And so I knew for him coming off three ball, heading to four, I knew he was going to get that quarter. And it was cool to see.
He wasn't going to give up. He's like, all right, if I got to get a piece of four, I'm doing it. So who else surprised you? Well, okay. How about, can I mention Tigas? I mean, the dude is like, I think he's the oldest guy out there. Him and Will are right there.
Yeah.
And Will got fifth. Tigas got seventh. They both ran 3:41 in the finals. Dude, those guys are still doing it. I mean, is it?
Yeah. It's,
do you ever stop and think about that when you're on the dock or getting ready for a finals and you see those two names?
Oh yeah, all the time. I mean, I feel, you know, just lucky to ski against them. They're, you know, when I was growing up, they were the names they are now, right? They were, you know, still running these scores, and it's incredibly impressive. And I think what's really impressive about Tigas, I mean, obviously the consistency he's known for, but he's starting to kind of swing to three with I got to hammer down and go. And Lacanau, I think the second round, he was right on four ball. And I think, you know, just the way he skis, I think if we get put in a position where we have to get four, he's going to figure it out, right? Similar to Will. I mean, whatever Will needs, he finds a way to go get it. Those guys just have so much experience. And I think Tigas was extremely close to at least a couple fours this weekend, which would have been, you know, a huge difference for him. But
that's kind of big too, because Tigas is usually really solid at getting three, but oftentimes it's like an S turn three. And more lately within the last year, I've seen what you're talking about. I've seen him start to like get a look at three with some space to make a turn. And that's a different deal. Now he's turning it and he's almost there. So that's cool. What about you? How did you feel? You ended up fourth. You got four again. You had a little slow too. Do you want to talk to me about the 41 off pass?
Yeah, just, you know, I think for me, it just all comes down to the gate, right? And I've worked a lot.
I thought your gate was great.
it's just such a fine line, right? It's got to be absolutely perfect for me to get through two ball in a good enough position to get to four ball. And I think one of the things I've developed or kind of grown the last year is even with a bad two, I can still kind of manage and get around three and get to four. But certainly something I'm always working on, right, is kind of for me, it's like, if I turn two, I'm going to get four. If I don't, then, you know, it's the 2.5 or those scores that you see, right? So, I mean, the site felt amazing. First round in the rain, was able to get four, had pretty good confidence. We had Scott Ellis driving, which I don't know if you've skied behind him, but he is incredible. I really liked skiing behind him. I haven't skied behind him much in the past, but he's just got the right personality for this, and he's just kind of continuing to get better. Everybody seems to get along with him. He's just a good guy to have in the boat, and feels really good to ski behind. So had a lot of confidence in the second round, and unfortunately, you know, just didn't get the gate I needed, and for some reason ended up with one. And it's such a fine line. It's like, you know, you miss it by 5% and your three buoys difference. So
I think for you, being a little shorter is probably a factor, I would say. I'm just throwing it out there. But there's less room for error, I believe, you know, at that level, especially 41 off at 10.25. But
yeah, it's,
again,
yeah,
in the final, so consistency. Like, I watched, was it Fungless, like 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago? I can't remember.
Yep.
Dude, there's been so many tournaments. I got lost in the Water Ski Pro Tour. But I've seen past events this year, and you've been so good at like just getting at least to three, if not a piece of four. And then suddenly, you know, you're not suddenly, but now you're like, all right, four is pretty much, you know, you're getting there more than 50% of the time, maybe. And even with a bad two in the finals that I saw, the fact that you still got a full four, that to me is like, you talk about T-Gas and Will as veterans with experience, but those are more veteran moves, in my opinion. Not freaking out with like loose line out of the backside of two in the finals and still getting the full four. Those are big moves.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just where we've come in the sport, right? Is two is, I mean, you're heading home after the first rounds with two now, right? And so it's just having that knowledge that, you know, two is not enough. It forces you to just be better, right? And I get a lot of confidence if I can have enough space at three that I can get to four. And so, yeah, I think that's been something that I've really worked on and try to manage, you know, just mentally more than anything.
What do you think is, what do you think is possible this year? Like, I don't want to make you say anything out loud that you don't want to say, but what are you looking to do moving forward this year? What do you hope to do? What's one goal you can share? Maybe not the biggest goal, but like, what's one goal that you can share with everybody?
I think my biggest goal right now is to win a pro tournament. I think I'm capable. I think I've been right there. It's been so close. I've had such good opportunities and unfortunately haven't been able to make them work. And I think a lot of it's going to be, I used to swing to four and think, okay, just S turn. And I still do, because four versus 3.5 is a huge difference. But
sure.
For example, when I ran 41 at the Worlds, there was no doubt swinging to four that I was going to turn, just like I do at 39. And I think making that mental shift of, okay, let's take a little more risk, but the reward is going to get you to that goal. I think that's probably the next step for me, is swing into four, knowing I'm going to turn and living with 3.5.
So what's stopping you from just saying right now that that's going to be your tactic from now forward this season?
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. I think these last three tournaments with everybody skiing so well, that's where the sport's at. So,
yep. I can't wait to see, just to see the next couple events that you get to compete in, because sounds like that you're flipping the switch mentally. And I think that's probably the biggest hurdle, in my opinion, what you just said. So,
yep.
How, your love for the sport, why do you ski? Tell me that at this level? Why do you try to compete at this level?
That's hard to answer, right? It's complicated, but I just love it. I mean, it's just fun. It's something I've worked on my whole life, and it's really fun to go compete with everybody. It's just, you know, a hell of a time to go out there and kind of put to work or like show off what I've been working on and, you know, kind of that internal battle, right? Of, you know, all the mental pressure, all the, you know, trying to perform physically and with equipment and, you know, taking risk by changing things or doing this or that. And it's fun. It's super challenging, but it's super rewarding. And I think, in that sense, it's pretty addicting.
That's cool. I think one thing I just heard that you said, I'm kind of reading between the lines, but some of the folks that lead in whatever field or career or sport that they choose to participate in are kind of people who lean into the fear, or when they feel fear, instead of shying away from it, they kind of like lean into it and say, okay, what's this? Why am I feeling this? How can I move through this? What tools do I have to get through this? And it sounds like that's part of the draw for you, is like, all right, this is scary. It's risky, but I need to try something. I need to try this. I need to explore. I need to stay curious, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a big thing. So, I heard a story one time that you and your dad, when you were a kid, would drive 14, 15 hours from Ohio down to Florida on the weekend, just for a weekend trip to go ski.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It is. We used to do it all the time.
Like, what do you mean all the time? Like how many times like a winter would you do that?
Oh gosh. You know, I guess when I started competing more of the international junior events, we couldn't train at home. The lake was frozen and had tournaments and, went to Moomba and, you know, a couple other events, and that was kind of the only option. And so, yeah, we drive down to Corey's, or, you know, it was kind of the closest spot for us. And, would head down there and ski for the weekend and head home. So
that's a big trip. How much does that factor into, and how much does your parents and your dad's support and guidance factor into where you're at now in the sport?
Oh, I mean, it's huge. And I think it's for most people in the sport, but it's, you know, it's something my whole family does. We always have done that. And, it's something that we can all do together and kind of develop the passion together, and something that I'm kind of proud to carry on and, you know, represent at least at some of these competitions. So
that's awesome. Well, dude, I know you're fresh off the plane. You're probably super jet lagged. But I want to ask you, the sport right now, you said it, on the water is kind of at an all time high. We've seen, you know, obviously Nate runs 1:43. To win, Fred Winter 5, you and Brando 4, a bunch of threes, you know, to round out the men's finals. And the women, Jamie Bull runs 39 all three rounds. Whitney pushes her to try to get around 2 for the win. We talked about some of the other up and coming girls, but also off the water, there are a lot of things happening to try to push the sport forward that I'm excited about, because I've been around for a while and I haven't seen this level of cohesion and coordination. So, you know, World Water Ski Pros put on the webcast last weekend. You got the Water Ski Pro Tour, obviously, which is a big part of kind of driving this bus, if you will. And you've got TWBC, who's really changed kind of the conversation and changed things for not only the spectators, but for you athletes, because you can go back and watch. And I feel like that factors into this improvement in performance as well. But what do you want people to know, or what's your perspective moving forward? Are you stoked? Are you hopeful? And for people who may not be skiers, but they just randomly popped onto this podcast, what do you want them to know about moving forward within the sport?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't think skiing could be in a better place. I mean, it's never been as good as it is now in my career, right? I mean, when I was coming up through the junior stuff, there was no webcast, there was no planned events. You didn't really know what was happening. It was kind of a you know, you'd see scores now and then, but with everything going on with TWBC, Pro Tour, World Water Skiers, like there's just so much momentum and visibility to the sport. I just can't help but think, you know, how thankful I am as to be an athlete at this time, because I can, you can kind of feel the momentum and feel it building. And, you know, you've got so many people out there that are, you know, like I take Greg as an example, Desfont, like he's putting on events in Monaco that like, it was incredible. And he kind of just ended up in the sport. I think the biggest word is just thankful that we have people like Greg, like yourself, like Mateo, like Vince, like that just have the passion and are able to deliver content that you know is driving
people fired up
from
well, just so you know, I think it works both ways. I think there are a lot of people out there listening or watching, tuning in, that are completely like thankful for people like you who go out and are really trying to show what is humanly possible. You're at the tip of the spear along with all the other women and men. And there's so many slalom skiers in the world that they get to watch you all weekly now, you know, at the, on their phone, touch of their fingers, and they get to learn from you all while you do what you love to do. So don't underestimate it. It's reciprocal. I think you're obviously thankful for where everything's at and everything that people are putting into it. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are really thankful that you and people like you have this perspective, that you have this passion, and that you get to go out there and try to, you know, prove yourself to see what you can actually do, because a lot of people get a lot from that just by watching. Trust me, there's people.
Yeah.
This makes them happy, and they love skiing so much that they get to go out and try to emulate and try to imitate. And that's like beyond words. So you're giving a lot to people too, buddy.
Appreciate that. No, it's been fun. So,
well, what's the next event before we sign off?
Yeah. So I think I'm trying to figure that out. I know there's one in Calgary. I'm not sure if I'm going to attend that one or not. I'm kind of on the fence. Yeah. I think it's probably California Pro-Am. So I think I've got a little bit of time off. So, but I'll definitely be out in California, and then we've got a huge fall. So looking forward to, kind of kicking back off California and everything after.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to close it out with just a quick look at the leaderboard for men's slalom. We've got Nate Smith in first, 210, Freddie Winter, 179, Will Asher's in third with 113 points, and Mr. Dane Meckler is in fourth place. So that's a good spot, dude. Working your way up. And then on the women's side, we got Whitney, 200 points, Jamie Bull, 137, Allie Nicholson, third place with 126, and Regina Jake was in fourth with 101. And then on the ski brand leaderboard, D3, number one, 389, Syndicate close behind, 376, Radar's in third with 279, and Good is in fourth with 238. So you're playing your part, buddy. Keep it up.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for joining me, buddy. Hopefully we get to see a lot more of you as the season moves into the second phase. And I'm personally excited to get to watch all you guys at the rest of these events, these Water Ski Pro Tour events. So thanks again for taking time, dude. I know you're tired. Means a lot.
Thanks a lot, Marcus. It was fun.
All right. Take care, Dane.